VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the VanWee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the VanWee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam VanWee.
It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
Adam's back from a convention, tanned and rested and ready to roll, and probably all full of great new ideas.
There was no tanning going on. I was actually inside the whole time.
Well, you weren't there long enough to even get a tan. But hopefully you got some good ideas that you can share with people today, what's going on in the business. You know, there's a lot more to our business than what people know about, and sometimes I think everybody sort of gets pigeonholed as a stockbroker, and that is just so wrong. So we'll tell you a little bit more about that as the day rolls along today. Meanwhile, welcome back to all the regulars. We're so happy you're here again. And if you're new to the show, whether by accident or on purpose, stick around for an hour. We'll talk about some interesting things that we want to talk about. And, of course, if you would like to talk about some interesting things that you would like to talk about, it's as easy as it could be. We are here live. The phones are open. Just pick up the phone and dial 904-222-8255, and we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. We will have a trivia question based on the market and some interesting facts about October. And we'll discuss a few other topics like, what does it mean that we're in a hurricane damage zone? Could that impact you and some things about your retirement? What if you're struggling a little bit financially because of that? There might be a little relief on the way. And by the way, if you can hear my voice and your address is not Georgia, then you're in a hurricane disaster area.
Definitely. I've been getting a bunch of offers in the mail from my loans and things like that to take a three-month hiatus or things like that.
Mm-hmm. And it's something worth thinking about. I would caution everybody not to take advantage of some of these things to the point where it costs them their long-term financial security. But if you're in trouble, maybe there's a little help on the way. I also want to talk about the changes to the military retirement system that are coming up next year. There's going to be some interesting decision points for our people in uniform, and it's time that we talk about that. So with all that said, what I think we want to tell you first and foremost that it is once again hard to get the smiles off our face because of what the market did again this week. Records seem to be piling up on top of each other this year. And I say, keep going.
Bring it on.
Bring it on.
Definitely. I'm running out of positive adjectives, so I'm just going to sound like a broken record and say it was a great week.
You could pre-record this section.
Exactly. The Dow led the way up 2%, while the S&P was up 0.9%, and the NASDAQ lagged a little bit, but still posted a pretty respectable gain at 0.4%. The third quarter has really started with a bang. The fourth quarter has really started with a bang, with the Dow up 4.1%, the S&P up 2.2%, and the NASDAQ up a little bit less than that at 2.0%. A lot of it's due to the proposed tax cuts, which have been all over the news lately, and it's the first major legislation proposed by the Trump administration that actually seems to have some legs. At least that's the rumor up in Washington. And all I have to say about that is, McCain, don't mess it up.
Oh, there's more to be said, and I will be the first one to call the baby ugly.
It's not my favorite proposal, but we have to do something. It is ridiculous that we are the have the highest tax rate, a corporate tax rate, in the industrialized world.
Regardless of what comes of this, and I think a lot of it is going to be no good, assuming anything comes of it, I think a lot of it will be no good. The one thing that if it does pass that's going to make all the difference to you as investors is the one thing that will very likely pass.
And that is the corporate tax rate coming down.
Exactly.
Because that will have a real clear effect on the bottom line of companies, which is exactly how companies are valued based on their earnings. So there's a real result there, and it may not benefit you, your personal tax rate, as much as you would have hoped, but if you're an investor, it could be very positive.
If you believe in carrots and sticks, the carrot outweighs the sticks at this point from a macroeconomic standpoint anyway.
So I feel like I'd be a little bit remiss if I didn't mention that this past week was the 30th anniversary of Black Monday.
That is correct.
If you're not familiar with that day, it was a pretty nondescript Monday in 1987, nothing really special about it. And the market, for reasons that no one can really explain, I mean, it was a bit overvalued. We were talking about it earlier.
We'll talk about that, and our trivia question is related to all of that.
But when it was all said and done, the market, after a few days, had dropped 30%. And companies like P&G, Coca-Cola, and Exxon all dropped over 20% on that day. So those are some pretty major companies to lose that much value in a single day. And that was, I should mention, that was before high-frequency trading, trading bots, and all the things that are frequently blamed for the large moves in the market these days. And we really just hope to not see another event like that.
Yeah, we have curbs on the market trading now. It can never be duplicated because
right.
the curbs would set in and it would be halted.
So everyone's worried about this level of the market, or at least if you watch the news, they are. But there's a stat that everyone forgets. Our current economic expansion is now in its 100th straight month. Mm-hmm. That is a long time. There's only two on record that lasted longer than this. So when you think things are overvalued, think about where we were 100 months ago and think about where we are today. And it's a little bit easier to justify that way.
Yeah, and for a lot of that time, the growth was phenomenally slow, but it was growing. So it takes longer when you're moving slower to get anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And now that that's speeded up a little bit, we've got the revised GDP for the past quarter at 3.1. That was Q2, I believe. And that's the best growth we've had in quite some time. If we can put a few of them back to back, we'll have the best year we've had in quite some time.
By far. Earnings season really got going this week, and the numbers are not quite as rosy as they were last week. So far, 63% of companies have beat on earnings and 57% on revenue. That earnings rate is pretty strong, but the revenue is a little bit disappointing. I'm hoping to see that rebound a little bit. Next week, we get earnings reports from Google, Microsoft, Amazon, and a bunch of others, which should tell us a little bit more about how the season will progress. And we can't really talk about earnings season this week without mentioning our not darling GE. Did you see what happened to them?
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
Wow. We've been talking about them for a few weeks now. We had a caller about a month ago asking about GE, and I believe we were bearish on it. And the disaster that Immelt, who was their CEO, built is now coming to light. A lot of it seemed to be hidden under his watch.
How'd that happen?
I don't know.
Guys involved in the White House Jobs Council, got buddy-buddy with everybody on Wall Street and Washington, and yet he's hiding secrets that are critical to the success, yes, but survival of the company.
Yeah, it was a pretty horrible earnings report for them, and even worse, their guidance was terrible. So not a good combination, and the stock responded accordingly, and it looks like a dividend cut might even be on its way. There's a lot of chatter about that, so you might want to wait until the dividend announcement if you're thinking this looks like a good value play. Economic data, just briefly, jobless claims fully recovered from the hurricanes to set a new record low at 222,000 this week. Pretty impressive.
44 years it's been since that few people lost their jobs in a week. And think what the population of this country has done in the last 44 years, and you'll see just how phenomenal that number really is.
Yeah, that one's not indexed to population, so it really is a good number.
Yep, and you're going to see nothing but more of that coming along. I think for a while, the unfortunate part of something like hurricanes is it hurts so much at the time, but as time goes on, it heals a lot of wounds, and I hope everybody gets back on their feet, and in doing so, we're going to see an awful lot of economic development. So don't go away. We've got lots of stuff after the break. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have a trivia question sponsored by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. Call Ken at 636-7888 and you will probably get him. In October of 1987, we experienced the crash of 87. What a coincidence.
Weird.
Which was the largest one-day drop in my lifetime, and a pretty bad one, about 30% over just a very, very short number of trading periods. What was the performance of the Dow Jones Industrial Average for 1987 from beginning to end? I need a direction and a percentage to the nearest one. All right. Let's see. We are, in our day jobs, not just radio people. We actually do some things.
We do.
And Adam will tell you a little bit about that and then relate it to where he was this week and what they're talking about down there.
We are actually fee-only financial planners, which means a number of things. If you're not familiar with the term fee-only, you should be. And what it means is that we don't make any money except for managing assets. We do not get paid commissions. We will not sell you anything. We don't sell insurance. We don't do any of that. We farm all of that out to other people based on our clients' actual needs for those products. And we tell them specifically what they need to go buy, but we will not collect a commission. And therefore, the theory is that it keeps us from recommending things that would be beneficial to us instead of what's good for the client.
Seems to work well in practice, too.
Exactly. And tied in with that is the fact that we're fiduciaries, which means that we hold ourselves to a standard that says we will always act in the best interest of our clients. And not every financial planner does that. So in order to be a member of the group that we are called NAPFA, which is the conference I went to this week, you have to be fee-only and fiduciaries. And so I went down to this conference this week. It was really interesting. Lots of good information about financial planning, things that would have bored most people to tears, but I found that it was really interesting. And met a ton of good people from across the country who do exactly what we do. And it was a really good experience. It's funny because there's so many people that hold themselves out to be financial advisors, financial planners, and a lot of them just sell annuities.
Last count, I think there were 87 designations for financial planners, of which about three actually mean anything.
Right. So what we also hold a designation called the CFP, and the CFP board was actually represented at the conference. They're pretty tightly knit with NAPFA. And in order to get a CFP, you have to pass a series of classes and then a very, very rigorous test, and you have to have a college degree. So there's the goal is that it's somewhat like being an accountant versus being a CPA. If you want the highest level of accountant, you go and find a CPA. If you want what we consider to be the highest level of financial planner, you get a CFP.
The C in both of them stands for certified.
And so the theory is, why would you not want to have something like that? And there's a pretty interesting piece of legislation that was working its way through Washington called the DOL fiduciary rule. You may have heard us talk about this. If you're not familiar with, I would look it up. It was going to change the industry pretty substantially, but
You're speaking in past tense now.
Yeah, because I'm thinking that it's delayed significantly.
Thanks, Washington.
Yeah, and what it was going to do was make all financial planners more or less hold themselves to the fiduciary standard and sort of even the playing field and stop people from getting bad advice. But instead, lobbyists took over and won the battle, it appears, and it looks like the legislation won't go through. That doesn't mean we're going to change. We will still be fiduciaries, but a lot of other people who are going to have to be now may not have to be.
It seems to be the position of some of the large brokerage houses that getting bad advice is better than getting no advice. I stand here in disagreement.
It's really a ridiculous argument because these days you can get, if you don't have a lot of money, you can go to a number of different places and get good advice.
You can listen to this show for free.
Exactly. You can go to Vanguard, tends to do a very good job with their clients, yep. Small clients. Betterment, all the robo-advisors. There's so many options. You don't have to have a ton of money to get decent advice these days. So holding out that it's too expensive for people to get good advice if they pass this fiduciary standard is just ridiculous. They need to do it. And if you are passionate about it like we are working through our different industry groups like NAPFA and the Financial Planning Association to lobby our politicians and get it passed. But it's going to be a long uphill battle, unfortunately.
Yeah, the people with a vested interest in slowing it down are a lot bigger than
and
we
have
are.
More money.
Yep, and they've had politicians in their pockets for a long, long period of time. I hope it changes sooner rather than later.
I agree.
So that's what's going on out in the big world. Meanwhile, how to get in touch with us and what you can expect when you do.
Yeah, so we offer an initial consultation for an hour. It's always free. There's no obligation. We do not do a heavy sales pitch. It's just simply an hour meeting to discuss each other's or your financial situation and just determine if there's a fit to do business together. If you're interested in that, you can always call the office at 904-685-1505, or you can find us online at www.vanweefinancial.com.
One of these days I'll put together a list of questions that people have had and why they called us to talk about them. And you'd be amazed at the range of topics that we hear about in the office and are willing and able to talk about. But you know my penchant for stupid headlines, don't you?
I know you like them.
I just found a couple that I really liked. This week, here's a great one. The debt crisis is coming to a head on a specific day, and I have proof. No, you don't. No one has proof of something that hasn't happened yet. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. What they're thinking, I don't know. I wouldn't even click on it. All right. Then come Wednesday. A shocker. This will be worse than the 1930s. Really? The Great Depression? Is going to happen again when we just got through the Great Recession and there's more people working now than ever before and we're growing like crazy.
And companies can't find enough good people to hire.
Yeah, we'll talk a little about that too. I heard a great report yesterday about labor shortages. 200,000 right now construction jobs open, unable to be filled across this country. If you've got any skills in any of the trades and you don't have a job now and you want one, you're looking in the wrong place. All right, how about Thursday? This is from the esteemed Washington Post. The middle class doesn't want a tax cut. It wants better government.
That's insane.
Thanks, Jeff. That's Bezos. You know, how can a moron be one of the richest people in the world?
Because he's actually quite brilliant. He just, his politics, maybe not so much.
He's a whack job. All right. How about this morning? Stock market's future is in Trump's hands as Federal Reserve chair pick looms. If he doesn't reappoint Janet Yellen, it's going to crash.
Oh, my gosh. That's another crazy headline. That doesn't even make sense. The Federal Reserve does not control the stock market. They do have an influence on it, but they do not control it.
They create fiat money, which winds up a lot of it going into the stock market. So there is some relationship to that. But Janet Yellen is not a great economist. She is a Keynesian, as are most of the Fed members. It's time we get a monetarist in there who actually knows something. I don't think either way. Carrying a $20 trillion debt is a good thing. But I also heard this week that our deficit for the fiscal year that ended 21 days ago, it was up from $586 billion to $666 billion. Now, the debt is the accumulation of all those years of deficit. So our debt now is $666 billion bigger than it was a year ago. And that, of course, spans a couple of administrations. But what bothers me about this is that the people who are putting together this so-called tax cut package are worried about the deficit going up. Well, you know, $666 billion. Why don't you worry a little bit about it going down? Is there anybody? In fact, Rand Paul withheld his yes vote on the package that just passed this week for the simple reason that he could not find one Republican to talk about cutting spending anywhere in the $4.1 trillion budget. So he made a principled stand. You know how I love and hate him. He did this one knowing that his one no vote was not going to sink the ship. He allowed the ship to sail, but he voted on his principle. And it's hard not to agree with him when you look at the projections for the debt and the deficits annually and the debt rising. And who knows how long we can keep it up. It would be nice to address the problem. But that said, I have a lot more on this whole thing for after the break. And I think you'll find it very interesting. If you're going to be serious about a tax proposal, it only comes along once every 30 or 40 years. And if we blow this chance, then I fear it'll be another 30 or 40 years. And from everything I can tell, we're looking to blow it, except for that one thing that we talked about with the corporate taxes. And I'll get into that a little bit more after the break. Meanwhile, trivia question is out there. There was a big crash in 1987 in October where the market fell about 30%. What was the overall year-long experience in the Dow Jones Industrial Average for 1987? I need a direction and a percentage, and you can just flat out guess if you want to. It won't bother us because then we can bracket it. All right, don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after the break. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
This segment brought to you by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. Call Troy at 662-9794. The crash of 87 saw about a 30% dip in the markets in October. What was the performance of the Dow for the entire year? Direction up or down, and percentage 0 to 100, whatever. It goes all over the place. Let's see. Next week, special guest week, Paul Livingston representing the Fair Tax people. For those of you who know about the Fair Tax, you know that it's been a little too quiet lately in Fair Taxville. In fact, Paul's at their monthly meeting right this minute down in St. Augustine. He's been a devoted follower and a real pusher for it. Those of you who don't know what the Fair Tax is, I really hope you tune in next week. And I'd really like it if you went to the website fairtax.org. It is a completely rethought tax system that totally replaces everything we've got now, simplifies the heck out of everything. In fact, I've got a little comparison thing that I will, what the heck. I was going to put it off till last. But since we're talking about it, I live in a mythical country where the government is funded under this system. There is no IRS. There are no income tax returns. April 15th is a spring day. 100% of your paycheck is received by you, except maybe medical deduction, but that's your choice. There is a prebate to everyone in America on the first part of the month that pays your basic necessities. Items cost about what they cost in your country today. Government revenue is the same as in your country today. Every department of government treats you exactly the same. If you are accused of something by any department of government, the burden of proof is on them, not on you. Productivity and success are rewarded. The more money you make, the more money you keep. That's my country. Now, you want to trade for this one? Under this one, the IRS is huge, powerful, and scary. when you're accused by the IRS, the burden of proof is on you, whether you have to prove a positive or a negative. Americans spend an average of 16 hours annually preparing their tax returns. 7.15% is taken from every paycheck. That's for Social Security and Medicare. The federal tax comes out on top of that, causing many people to lose over half of their paycheck every time. IRS employs tens of thousands of people at our expense. A separate court system paid for by the taxpayers exists solely for tax cases. We have the highest corporate tax rate in the world. Corporations don't pay taxes in my country. Scammers annually fleece millions from taxpayers, posing as the IRS. There are 70,000 pages of rules for preparing tax returns, and that is changed, on average, once every day by Congress. Who can keep up? IRS can seize your bank account and hold it for pretty much as long as they want to. Businesses and farms must be sold when the owners die to pay the inheritance tax. Productivity is punished because the more you make, the bigger percentage they take away from you. Government specifies behavior in the tax code. It makes you do things you wouldn't necessarily want to do, and vice versa. Now, if you want to trade your country and mine, you got to go through me. What I described at first was the fair tax. What I described second is the current system and every single proposal on the table. I do not care if you want to call it the flat tax. I do not care if you want to call it a simplified tax. I do not care if you want to call it a tax cut. It is the same miserable, rotten, oppressive system that we have now.
And congratulations for moving up to the top of the IRS to audit list.
Yes. Captain Dave.
Hey, how you doing, Steve? How you doing, Adam?
Never better. How are you?
All right. Do you guys record your show by any chance? I'm next Saturday morning. I want to hear this discussion because, you know, I'm talking about I spend more money than I make because I, you know, have cash and I invested well. But I'm going to be on an airplane to Montego Bay on the way on Saturday.
Hey, just rubbing it in.
No, I just got to get down there and do a few things in the bathroom. But do you ever record it, or is there any way I'm going to be on the plane, so I will not be able to hear it no matter what.
I am so happy you asked. I'm going to let Adam tell everybody how to listen to the shows.
Yeah, we record every show, and what I do is I take that recording, I edit out the commercials.
I can't hear them.
You can't hear me? Oh, well, then you tell them.
I got Alan being real busy in there trying to figure out why. Try it again.
I take every show. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay, great. And I edit out the commercials, and I post it as a podcast to iTunes and Stitcher and a couple of other websites. But if you have a phone, you can basically go and search us in iTunes. Just look under Van Wee. We're the only one that I could find. And you can download the show weekly and listen to it that way.
Oh, great, because once I get to Jamaica, I have high-speed internet at my house. But it's just I'll be on the plane because I really want to do hear this, how this would affect me. Sounds like if everything costs what it's going to cost now, then I guess that's going to be, you know, okay. So I'll be paying taxes on money that has already been taxed, which is, you know, just in my mind, that seems like not right.
But the money won't already have been taxed if you're not paying taxes.
Well, yeah, but I'm talking about money I already have.
Pre-existing money? Yeah.
Right.
But if you could buy something for the same price, would you care?
Yeah, and then that's a wash. It's fine with me.
The fundamental theory of this, which we'll get into in more depth next week, fundamental theory is that everything you buy, you are paying the tax.
Already.
Yeah. Yep, because the corporation had to pay taxes, therefore it passes on the money to you. No corporation has ever paid taxes.
To say nothing of the embedded cost of doing the tax returns.
All of that, yep.
Yeah.
It's about 22% of everything that you spend out there for new goods and services is actually paying the taxes for the people who created the goods and services.
Right.
That is then rolled out, and then it's rolled back in. The net effect is virtually none. And yet the government gets the same revenue we do. So,
yeah, well, how long do you think it'll take before those thieves in Washington figure out we need a surtax?
That is one of the downsides, which is why this proposal comes in with the repeal of the 16th Amendment and a new constitutional amendment that they can't do that except in times of war. Now, I know they'll go out and create a war somewhere, but you know, realistically, that was accounted for in this by the smart people who understand that Congress is incorrigible and can never get enough of your money. But we'll cover all of it in depth next week. There's no one more knowledgeable than Paul.
I'll be listening to the recording from my during the week.
Anytime anybody, guys. Thank you. Anytime anybody misses a program, just go to the website. You can pick up the old ones. Yep, it works.
And I usually get that podcast out by Monday or Tuesday.
Okay,
so
that's important.
Can look for it then.
All right. Let's see. Wait, I did that one. Now I want to talk a little bit, very briefly. I don't want to get into the big one until after the break. But I want to talk about the changes in the hurricane and retirement accounts for a minute. It costs a lot of people a lot of money. And during the aftermath of some of these disasters, notably Katrina, Congress loosens up some of the rules for taking money from your retirement plans. So if you're in the affected area, and as I said, everybody pretty much is around here, you can withdraw up to $100,000 from your retirement account without the penalty. So if you're under 59 and a half, that penalty is waived, period. You can take that money and do things and never repay it. Now, it will be taxable if it comes out of a traditional type account, but you can just take it out and that's that with no penalty. You can also spend the next 3 years paying all or part of it back. So if you don't want to punish your own retirement plan, but you really need the money in order to solve some of the problems that the storm created, you can do that. Also, if you have withdrawn money from a retirement account and you're paying yourself back, but you used it to buy a home, for instance, for a down payment, then the extension of that five-year payback rule is automatic. And if your company doesn't know about it, all you really have to do is go inform them, and they have until next January to actually change that rule in your 401k. So if you take the money, you will be pretty certain that there'll be nothing wrong. Now, there is some other conditions in there. There are some other conditions that I don't particularly care about, but just know that exists. All right, we'll be right back after the break. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
There are some things going on out there in Washington, D.C., as there so often are. And I have referred to some of this tax talk as a Trojan horse. And this week, just to avoid repeating myself, say, beware of the wolf in sheep's clothing. And that wolf might just bite you. Now, the beginning of this tax reform, I use various terms because they do, the beginning of it passed in that the budget outline passed the Senate this particular week at $4.1 trillion. That gives them a framework to reconcile some of these changes into tax law, which is exactly what happened when Obamacare came into being. And look how wonderful that was. Oh, wait. Why am I skeptical? Count the ways. All right, so what is the purpose of tax relief? Washington collectively seems to have forgotten. Remember when this started out, when Trump was talking about growth and employment and growth and investment and making the country great again, making the economy great again, getting people from welfare to work and all those wonderful things. What you have to do that, and it's been done a lot of times. JFK did it and Ronald Reagan did it. And guess what? The first thing that happens, the government takes in a little less money, thereby leaving it behind in the hands of you and me. And what do we do with it? Do we put it in our mattress? Not so much. We stick it into businesses and employees and that sort of thing. And lo and behold, each time it was tried, it worked. So a tax cut, by definition, means less revenue in the short run for the government. But in practice, what it means is more revenue for the government in the long term. Well, this week, we hear all the crowing about the tax reform, tax cut, tax simplification law, and how it has to be, quote, revenue neutral. Revenue neutral is Washington, D.C. doublespeak for no tax cut. Cut corporate tax, take it from somebody else. Cut my tax, take it from you. Cut your tax and take it from me, and now I'm really upset. Revenue neutral means you collect just as much money. It doesn't leave one more dollar inside the private sector where it can actually do some good. So let's see some of the ways they're smoke screening us on this thing. In the name of tax simplification, the proposal says it will have three rates rather than the current seven. Or does it? This week we find that Paul Ryan says, well, no, there's going to be a fourth rate, a higher one for the really rich people. All right, so now we got four. And Trump says, well, we added a new zero rate, so we really have five. Now, do I care if we have seven or three or five or four or one? No. I can look it up on a chart, and so can you. You give me your number. Here's how much taxable income I have. You hand me a chart. I'll look it up. I'll tell you what you owe, just like that. That is not simplification. We also learned that several members of Congress in both houses and of all political stripes demand, absolutely demand, that it be revenue neutral. And that means ain't no tax cut here. And we also know in the same week that the budget deficit went up to $666 billion. Well, if they say revenue neutral, that leaves us in a position over the 10 years they're talking about to add $6.66 trillion to the budget deficit, to the debt, in other words, the debt that this country carries. Do you think that'll have a stimulative effect on the economy, or do you think it'll be a drag on the economy? If you're going to sell that much new money to investors, what's going to have to happen?
Inflation.
And interest rate increases, the two logical outcomes. Once the inflation picks up from all the demand, the interest rate increases will be brought to you by the Fed. But merely to sell new bonds to people, you're going to have to give them a better deal. What happens when the price of a bond is down lower? The yield is higher. Who's going to pay the interest on the national debt? All of us. $666 billion deficit? Mm-mm. It's going to have to go up. It just won't work that way. So every time they talk about revenue neutral, all you have to remember is they're lying about tax cuts. It's not going to happen, except, as Adam and I were talking, the good part is about the corporate taxation going down. That is actually stimulative. Good morning, George.
Hey, good morning, guys. You're sounding good. I agree
Thanks.
With what you're saying. I wanted to throw into the pot the idea that if we're not cutting the debt, which is you're implying there, then we're not doing the right taxes and spending
That's
program.
Correct.
And I found from one of the Fox national hosts that total welfare spending is around $2.7 trillion a year. $2.7 trillion. And it comes out of the stock market, out of people who are investors, people who have more money. It also comes out of everybody else's pocket. And it goes to the federal government, and they waste a lot of the money going to the federal government.
Yep.
Who knows, 20, 30, 40, 50%. Why not just bypass the federal government? And that's why I kept saying that everybody should have an investment account, a 401k, health savings account, even from birth, and take $1 trillion of that money, stick it in those accounts, and the rest of it use it to pay off the national debt and build roads. And Congress just seems to not understand common sense.
They do not. They understand one thing, and that's power.
Right. We got to Andrew Crenshaw on the Fairfax. A lot of us did. It wasn't just me. And we basically said we're going to vote him out of office if he didn't sign on. He was a co-sponsor. He signed on.
Really?
I don't know how many co-sponsors.
So you
are
voted
right
him
now.
Out anyway.
But if every one of your listeners would call up the local Congress people and the two senators and say, "Look, we're going to work against you in the next campaign if you don't at least be a co-sponsor. You don't have to get it through. At least be a co-sponsor," and we keep building up the co-sponsors all over the country, and build up the co-sponsors for everybody having a fair tax.
I agree.
Yeah, and a 401k and a health savings account. And even Trump said, "I like this 401k stuff. I like the health savings account stuff."
Yep.
And it will take a lot of us calling and telling them we want the good stuff that'll work.
And we're going to do this in depth next week. I hope you stick around and listen to it.
Sure, I appreciate it.
You want to take a shot at the trivia, George?
Oh no, I'm wound up here rebuilding the house, and
okay.
I wasn't totally looking.
No problem.
All right,
good to talk to you.
We'll talk to you later. Bye.
That's absolutely true. All right, well, let's move on to the topic of tax simplification again. How many people are really going to file on a postcard? Let's talk about that. Everybody who is not one of these people has the possibility of filing their taxes on a postcard. Here are the people that can't. One or more of you is over 65. You have any dependents. Taxable income exceeds $100,000. You contribute to a retirement account. You have an HSA, speak of the devil. You didn't have health insurance all year long. You received dividends from stocks or mutual funds. You have any capital gains. You claim any tax credit except the earned income tax credit. You claim premium tax credit or pay advanced premium tax credits on insurance. You had other than wages, salaries, or tips, which means every self-employed worker, professional, small business owner, investor, parent, and a host of others cannot file on a one-page tax return. Now, they say they're going to change that so that 70% of Americans will be able to file a one-page tax return. And I say, I've called BS on this one, quite frankly. It just is not going to happen. You find a 12-year-old with a reasonable, even public education, and you tell him to apply a tax rate to a number, and you're going to get the right answer. You find any 12-year-old in this country, I don't care how smart, how well-educated, and where he went to school, and tell him to figure out your taxable income if you have any one of these, and it's not going to happen. And it won't happen then, just like it won't happen now. Don't pee on my leg and tell me that it's raining. And that's my beef for today. Okay. All right. We got to go this week. There's more of this coming next week. Well, actually, probably 2 weeks. No, we'll talk about next week, too. With Paul Livingston on the fair tax, you're going to learn an awful lot of stuff next week. Much of it I already know. I don't know what's really new in the business so much as I work most Saturdays. But Paul will bring us up to date on the whole process of the fair tax, how things are going, who's signed on, what it is. And I want everybody who has any questions about it to go to fairtax.org, read up on it so you're knowledgeable by the time next week comes. It should be a hoot. 2.2% up for the year in 87. All right, see you next week. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.